Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top-brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
For the second time in my life, I'm guilty of committing a crime. Being horrifically ill-prepared for my fantasy football draft. Cause I doubt my league mates minded my team finishing 3-10, earning the ridicule of not just my friends and family, but of every man, woman, and child I've ever encountered. But this season, I find I'm so excited I can barely sit still or hold a thought in my head. I think it's the excitement only a future hashtag Foot Clan champion can feel. A future champ at the start of a long journey, whose conclusion is dispersing a wide range of insults upon my league mates. Things like, you're one pathetic loser, or you must be a major disappointment to your parents, or my personal favorite, you suck. Buttface. You know who's going to be the toilet bowl champion this year? Not me. Not me. To join me on this journey, head to www.ultimatedraftkit.com. I hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. What, did you want something?
Are there games today?
Aren't wow. They? Still football time.
Yeah, it's still football time.
Welcome into the show.
It doesn't happen every time there's a game, Jason. We don't do it on Mondays.
Okay, all right. I'm still learning the rules.
There's it's the start of the week.
You got something yesterday.
Got a little bit of something.
You had yesterday. A question mark yeah. on it, but you got something.
Yeah, and we got something yesterday. Just a little bit.
Just a taste. It'll be okay. We'll have real football time soon enough. Welcome in one and all to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. Back with you. You can find us over on Twitter at the FF Ballers. You can find us on YouTube if you, those of you watching, hello, greetings.
Hello.
YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballers. Subscribe, click the bell. We've got a live stream coming up, a very special one. You're going to want to be notified.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell you more than that.
We will later, but
yeah, I
mean, but as of today, just go click the bell.
UltimateDraftKit.com. I mean, you can listen to this show and be prepared for your draft, but you can take it to the next level and pick up the draft kit, the cheat sheet creator, import your league settings, and go to your draft with a plan. And that's what we want you to do. Check that out at UltimateDraftKit.com. Quick reactions to last night's games before we get into the news, and we are doing a mock draft on today's show. It's going to be a battle because we are drafting 4, 5, 6, and it's a 10-team, 3-wide receiver PPR mock draft live. Not sure I feel great being in the middle both. I'm like, there is no situation where I will not be sniped.
You, every single time you go to picks, someone will be sniping right before you.
That's
it's
correct.
Fantastic.
But last night we had a couple of football games. Saw C.J. Stroud get run all over the place. Threw an interception. Faced that pass rush in New England.
It's over.
Davis Mills looked pretty good.
Sent Stroud to the bench. It's done.
The general.
The career is done.
The rookies last night were the highlight for me. In both games, you saw good things from Jordan Addison, great things from Tank Dell.
Yep.
And, Zach Charbonnet didn't get a ton of work. He was fine. He had one kind of, I think, impressive physical play that caught your eye. And then you love to see the coaches' comments after the game, to me, stood out, where, Kevin O'Connell coming out and talking about Ty Chandler,
mm-hmm.
the backup to Alexander Mattison, or battling to be the backup. And then you saw comments from Pete Carroll kind of positive towards Zach Charbonnet, although he did play behind DJ Dallas in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned most of the takeaways that
got
I
got them all.
To me,
what's
it was
left, Jay?
Tank Dell and Ty Chandler. Those were the two takeaways. I'm going to keep my eyes on Tank Dell. You've got to really focus your eyes on him so you don't miss, because he is poquito.
He's a smaller fella.
He's a small guy, but he looked good. I mean, he's a talented wide receiver. Mm-hmm. You just don't ever really buy into someone of that archetype succeeding for fantasy football just because it's, I don't know, never happened. But he is really good, and he looked the part against NFL defenders. And then, yeah, Ty Chandler, he certainly got the job opportunity given to him to be that next back for
and
the Vikings.
Really good.
Yeah, the coach was very happy with him after the game. 29 yards through the air, 41 yards on the ground. Was pretty good.
Mike, anything to add?
No, my biggest watch for this was I wanted to see how the Vikings backups handled, and Ty Chandler, it wasn't just running the ball. I mean, the Kevin O'Connell quote was essentially, we love to see it. He's picking up yards where there wasn't even yards to be picked up. He looked pretty good in pass protection as well. Alexander Mattison was held out. I think Nwangwu is currently hurt. He's kind of the other threat to be the backup. But when you show out on tape, when the lights are on like that, that makes a big impression on your coach.
All right, let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Well, we don't have adductorindex.com, but George Kittle would be on it. Dealing with a strain in camp, expected to be sidelined for the next week. Already had a groin injury, last August? Missed some games due to that. This is, it's part of the resume of
it is.
George Kittle at this point. Doesn't play complete seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to use the brittle word. Won't do it.
But it rhymes.
But people have done it.
And then I wanted to mention this. We didn't talk about it yesterday.
It's just something to
pay attention to. It's hard because I don't want to overstate it, and I don't want to understate it. But Joe Mixon has two legal situations still to be they still need to figure out what's going on with both of them. He had a situation at his home where somebody that was at his residence fired a weapon, shot somebody. There's a civil lawsuit.
I don't think anybody actually got
hit. Hit in the foot.
Oh, got hit in the foot? Okay. Yeah. All right.
You can go read what took place and transpired. Joe Mixon's being represented in a civil lawsuit as somebody that was partially responsible for that event. And then there is a second trial and event that is taking place with regards to, and I don't know all the details, Mike, but it was a brandishing accusation, yeah, intimidation type of thing with a weapon. A couple weapon-related things with Joe Mixon that I don't currently think they're going to impact this season.
This the one that's going to trial, of Kyle, hopefully you can correct me if I'm wrong. This was the weird one where it was over the off season, where the news came out that it was simply a threat of a firearm. Then it was perhaps there was actually a brandishing of a firearm.
It's a misdemeanor charge of aggravated menacing over allegations of pointing a gun at a woman back in April.
And then the police looked into it. And then they dropped the case. So we all had kind of moved on. But they said at the time, we're dropping it for now because we're going to be, but we're going to leave it open to gather more information. And it has since opened back up. So there is a jury trial scheduled for Monday, the 14th. So it's something to keep an eye on. And generally speaking, for the NFL, they wait until things have fully transpired in the legal system before they come down and do something. So I don't know how quickly this will move on Monday, if this is a vote to go to trial or not. Again, certainly not lawyers. Definitely our least favorite part of this job is having to sort through this and figure this stuff out. But it's information that people need to be aware of. There is a situation going on.
It's worth saying what we can comment on is that this team has not made roster decisions.
Correct.
That would lead you to believe they're going to be without Joe Mixon in any capacity this year. Travion Williams, Chase Brown,
Chris Evans,
and then Joe Mixon should be the guy, as opposed to like the Kamara situation. They did fill out that backfield in New Orleans. They knew something was going to happen. Couple of hype train pieces. I mean, I don't know if it's worthy of the actual. Well, yeah, it is.
The Eagles won, definitely.
So let's start there, and then I'll circle back to the Buffalo situation. But a lot of reports out of camp regarding the running back room in Philadelphia. Kenneth Gainwell has increasingly been the team's early down back. He's had more than double the early down touches in training camp than any other running back. He's catching passes. The reports coming out of Eagles beat writer Seamus Clancy says he's had a much stronger camp than any other back. Vast majority of first-team carries. So when you look at the landscape in Philadelphia, you have two players that were brought in on one-year contracts, Rashad Penny, DeAndre Swift. You have incumbents in Kenneth Gainwell, who got play last year alongside Miles Sanders and company.
Yeah, especially in the playoffs.
You got Boston Scott in the picture, and then you have Trey Sermon, who was actually on the roster last year. And if you read what beat writers are talking about with Trey Sermon, they're not treating him like somebody on the roster bubble. They're giving him opportunities. In fact, Rashad Penny, I think, has the second fewest first-team opportunities at this point. So this is kind of a red alert situation.
It is.
They listed five backs as their number one running back.
Yeah, their official depth chart was hysterical because it looks like everybody's normal depth chart. You know, who's the quarterback one? Who's the quarterback two? And then at running back, they just got rid of all the positions and put five players with slashes. Just they're all the same.
So what jumps out to me, and see if you agree with this, but like Rashad Penny, DeAndre Swift, draft investments, which they've been the higher draft investments, they seem extremely risky. Like, I think we could have a surprise cut of DeAndre Swift. Like, that type of thing could happen because right now he looks like they're basically saying he's getting less and less involved throughout the training camp time period, only going to be a third down back. I just wonder if Kenneth Gainwell is going to be the back to own.
Yeah, there's a real strong possibility that there isn't a back to roster here because, you know, if Kenny Gainwell is more of the between the 20s type of running back, he's not going to score enough fantasy points. I think they might just have a massive rotation here, and we'll have to wait and see. They're not all of these players are going to make the roster, so I think the way that one beat reporter put it was with Rashad Penny, he is either really on the roster bubble and might not make the team, or they're so confident that he is their one that they're resting him. That was his takeaway, and it's like, no one knows. No one has any idea what this rotation is going to look like right now.
Yeah, so it just casts a big shadow of doubt over, you know, all of these players, and they could certainly get by with a more Kansas City Chiefs backfield committee situation. I mean, these are the two Super Bowl teams, and they both don't really have a 1A. It's like 1A, 1B, 1C, you know, combination.
I would say I think the biggest takeaway for me is I agree. It seems like it's a bigger mess than we had hoped for. I've made some adjustments. I've kind of been on Team Rashad Penny the entire offseason, and I have to slowly back away from that with the information we currently have. But the bigger takeaway is DeAndre Swift is still being drafted in on Sleeper right now in the sixth round. Like, this is a full red alert for you. Can't spend a sixth rounder on DeAndre Swift with this type of information. Rashad Penny becomes a pretty iffy pick, but he's going back in the ninth round. Meanwhile, Kenneth Gainwell, that's the end of your draft. Like, if you're in a home league, he's going to be a sneaky last round or second to last round of your positional players. So I'm more open to the idea of him. I'm more bullish than Jason laid out because Gainwell does have pass catching in his profile. Like Rashad Penny, he's never been used like that in the pros, but Kenny Gainwell can get it done in all aspects. So if he ends up being the majority running back, I think he's going to have a very strong season.
5'9", 200, only 121 career rushing attempts, has had 79 targets over 2 years, 56 receptions on those 79 targets. Let's pay close attention for the next couple of weeks in Philadelphia.
Yep.
And now let's move on to the running back room in Buffalo. Damian Harris missing time lately, knee injury. But when you look at what beat writers are talking about Buffalo camp, Jason, most impressive players at camp thus far, James Cook,
mm-hmm.
Who's going to have a huge opportunity with the first team this year. Great pass catching ability. Dalton Kincaid, the rookie tight end. In fact, both tight ends are having great camps.
Mm-hmm.
And Latavius Murray.
Oh,
what is happening?
Latavius. It's funny because like 2 days ago I said that the team added these backs and they want production from them. They don't care about our fantasy football hierarchy or who we think can contribute or whether we think Damian Harris never got a fair shake in New England, blah, 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 blah. Here's what they care about. Latavius Murray has gone out there, got it done in practice. Huge plays. I mean, they're 71-yard touchdown in practice the other day. Chunk play after chunk play.
He's 33.
Yeah.
How is he ripping off a 71-yard touchdown? Is this the drill where you can't tackle?
I mean, at this point in time, Latavius Murray, who has been – you know, he's had spurts of value in New Orleans and then Denver. Like, it's looking right now like Latavius Murray is going to have real opportunities on the goal line for this team. That's what I think is going to happen.
And he's fully irrelevant for your fantasy leagues as far as drafting him. But what that does matter for is James Cook. James Cook, to me, is a very exciting back. His drumbeat the entire from mini camp, training camp, has been, everyone said he is the star of Buffalo's camp. The issue becomes, for fantasy purposes, will he be allowed to have touchdowns inside the, you know, in the green zone? Is that going to be a role that they'll even put him on the field for? Because in training camp right now, it looks like it's not. Now, he can get his touchdowns from, you know, 10 yards out, 20 yards out, 40 yards out, and I think you'll see some of those. But if Latavius Murray keeps playing as well as he has been playing in camp, then when they get down near the goal line, is going to be the bigger, stronger Murray in there.
It could leave Damian Harris in a precarious situation, too, could. If Murray's the goal line and James Cook is getting a lot of – like, Damian Harris is not going to catch passes.
No.
So then, like, you're getting some spelling of James Cook snaps and
yep. – It's a situation we will be keeping an eye on, and I would just throw out, if you're playing Dynasty, Latavius Murray could be on that waiver wire. Like when people had to make cuts to put those rookies, I'm sure if Latavius was on my team, I'd be like, oh, easy. That's an easy cut. 33? Get out of here. But he might be there.
That was today's News and Notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
The Fantasy Footballers Mock Draft.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, don't mind me.
That was an intentional sound you made.
Mm-hmm.
That was an inadvertent.
That was a roar.
Yeah. That was a little bit lazy on the roar side.
I'm reserved, Andy.
Sometimes lions are sleepy.
Preseason levels?
Yes, it was a preseason roar.
We are hopping into a mock draft live on the show today, head-to-head-to-head. Three of us going at it. 10-team draft. First time we've done a mock draft 10-team format. We've had that request. Also doing a full PPR, not a half PPR, and we're throwing three wide receivers into the starting lineup along with two running backs, a quarterback, a tight end, and a flex and four bench. So it's going to be a little different, Jason.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little different. I'm starting at the four spot. And the fact that it's full PPR right now, we could say that the draft started with Christian McCaffrey, Justin Jefferson, and Austin Eckler, which I don't – I mean, in a full PPR, those are three likely picks up top. Now, sitting here at the four, I have to decide between – to me, it's Ja'Marr Chase or Cooper Kupp. In a full PPR, Cooper Kupp, I mean, he should be the wide receiver one. But since
he's running.
He's running. He's back. But since he carries a little bit more risk with the risk of Matthew Stafford staying healthy without a good offensive line and his own injuries coming back from, you know, the injury last season, having the injury currently, I can't take that risk when Ja'Marr Chase is sitting there. So I will select Ja'Marr Chase.
You're a monster.
Yeah, I know you wanted him.
I did want to jump in real quick and just talk about the difference between half and full PPR and how certain fantasy wide receivers do perform differently based on those formats. You know, where, you know, Christian Watson, Deontay Johnson, Gabe Davis, Josh Palmer, we looked at their performance. There were only five wide receivers that shifted more than three spots based on the format change.
Oh, that's interesting.
Those were those guys. Christian Watson, in full, he was down six spots.
Let's say he moved down because he was all just, it was one catch.
It's big play guy. Whereas like someone like Deontay Johnson, seven spots better in a full PPR because he's a possession type of receiver. Gabe Davis makes perfect sense. You bring him into a half or a standard format, the value goes up. Babe Davis makes big plays.
Gabe the Babe.
And then like Josh Palmer is five spot difference, better in full. Adam Thielen better in full. You know, you got to break it down by that big play versus
moved like
possession.
From wide receiver 80 to
31 to 36, Mike. The Adam Thielen, like the turning on Adam Thielen, it's ageism. You're both guilty of it. There's no need to be that. I mean, you used to like the guy.
I love Adam Thielen.
And then, it's not like you had.
I love Adam Thielen.
Dirty lies.
Not for fantasy. I hate Adam Thielen for fantasy in 2023 because he's the only reason is because he's not going to be good for fantasy. I love Adam Thielen, the man, and I have been a big proponent of him for fantasy when he was good.
Yeah, Andy's voice tells me he didn't draft Adam Thielen last year.
So, yeah, and you pretending like he had 50 spots difference from where he finished tells me you did.
Yeah, I did.
So that's how that's like the retrospective ADP is based on your biases. Jason went with Ja'Marr Chase. The only question mark around Chase is whether Joe Burrow will be out there in week one. There's a brand new injury blitz podcast, 33 minutes long.
Oh, it's beefy.
From Matthew Betts that just hit our Patreon at jointhefoot.com. Was listening this morning. He threw shade on the idea that, you know, Cincinnati came out and thought it was a grade one injury for Joe Burrow. He says that's hogwash. You know, it was definitely a grade two injury. So it's very questionable whether he'll be back and ready to go.
Okay.
So that could put Ja'Marr Chase in a different quarterback category for a couple of weeks. But look, Ja'Marr Chase is just too good of a ceiling to pass on there. I actually am having a hard time right here. It's not Cooper Kupp. I'm not worried about Cooper Kupp right here. I'm not going to take him because I have Tyreek Hill ranked higher than Cooper Kupp. I don't have to worry about the injury situation. I don't have to worry about a fragile line and a fragile quarterback. And a fragile hamstring. So, maybe the fragile quarterback. But Tyreek Hill I have ranked higher, so he would be the pick here as three wide receiver. However, I am facing a dilemma. It's a 10-team league. I like the value of having the premium tight end when you're in a 10-team format because it's just even more of an advantage than it is in a 12- or 14-team league. Travis Kelce at 105. As a marked advantage above you two gentlemen, it's interesting. So that's what I'm debating, is the Tyreek Hill versus Travis Kelce.
I figured because of the 10-team format here that one of you two would be selecting Kelce. It is one of those things where every team is going to be a little bit better than what you're used to seeing in 12-team leagues. And so you really do need the positional difference makers who will give you an advantage over other teams.
I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill. I'm going to let the three wide receiver format win it out for me. It's just such an expensive pick for Travis Kelce. Thought long and hard about it, but Jason has Ja'Marr Chase. I'm going to take Tyreek Hill here at the 105 and hand that Kelce baton to Mike. See what he wants to do here, whether he goes with Cooper Kupp or not.
I knew as soon as Eckler was the number three pick, I knew I would just get whoever was left over of the big wide receivers. So now I just have to worry about, is Cooper Kupp number one or number two?
All right. The rest of the first round, Kelce went right after our three wide receiver picks. Then CeeDee Lamb, who's been having an amazing camp in Dallas, Bijan Robinson, and Stephon Diggs rounding out the top 10. We'll circle back to the second round in a second.
Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, we're through one round. Full PPR, 10-team, three wide receiver, mock draft. Jason has Ja'Marr Chase. I have Tyreek Hill. Mike S. Cooper Kupp. And here we go in the second round. Saquon off the board first. Then Patrick Mahomes, Nick Chubb, and A.J. Brown. We are back. Mike is on the clock. Someone to pair with Cooper Kupp.
So I am really struggling here with this pick, which sounds a little bit ridiculous, but let me explain. So in my rankings, now maybe this is tough here. It's Davante Adams is clearly my highest ranked wide receiver. He's sitting at wide receiver 8 for me. And yet I find myself struggling. Do I go with him or in the, because it's the PPR, do I take the safety of Amon-Ra and eliminate the hullabaloo of the Raiders and Jimmy Garoppolo? And I know, Andy, you're strongly, would you would just be like, yep, Davante Adams.
The full PPR, and I'm very bullish on Amon-Ra as well. So I'm very comfortable with whoever you decide to take.
And then at the running back position, like, because it's three wide receiver, full PPR with the flex, this is if you are going to go with a hero RB or a zero RB build, this is where you do it. This is exactly where you do it. But Tony Pollard is there. I think he's going to catch a whole bunch of passes as well. And I feel very comfortable with him. And I guess there is a little bit of discomfort going with Davante Adams, which is one of those things that could be very, very silly in about 4 weeks. But I'm going to take Tony Pollard here.
Yes.
Well, that's great because Jason knows what the situation is. And I'm going to take Davante Adams in the second round. So Jason will be able to select who he desires. What are the fist pumps for?
The fist pumps are for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Nice.
I mean, he's in PPR for me. He's clearly the highest ranked guy here. He's ahead of a lot of people that, would usually go ahead of him. I think at a full PPR three wide receiver to get Amon-Ra in the second is a delight. I was worried because to me there was Davante Adams, and there was Amon-Ra. I would have taken Amon-Ra over Davante Adams just for the whole avoiding the chance that the Raiders implode.
Yeah, I mean, last year Davante Adams had 44 more targets than Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm very cozy with Adams. I think I would have been cozy with Amon-Ra had Mike taken Adams. So through two rounds, Mike has Kupp and Pollard, the only one of us with a running back on the roster. Mm-hmm. I have Hill and Adams. Jason has Chase and Amon-Ra St. Brown. The rest of the second round went three running backs, unfortunately. Henry, Taylor, Jacobs. Jacobs now at 210 in this mock draft. Jalen Waddle.
I love Jonathan Taylor and Josh Jacobs. They're just right next to each other where it's like, okay, the tier is like, we got to take the chance on him now at the back of the second. But every time I'm looking at those guys, I'm like, right now, no thank you.
Jalen Waddle, Garrett Wilson, and Jalen Hurts off the board in the third round. Jason, I can tell you right now, I hate being in between both of you two. Because at every moment I get to listen to analysis of maybe you taking my player.
Yeah.
So go ahead and make your selection, Mr. Jamar Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
You should already know who I am selecting. This is an automatic for me this year. The fact that it's a 10-team league, you know.
I thought about it in the second because I'm mapping it out of we're headed back out in the third round and Jason's in front of me and I know that if I don't take that player here, I'm not going
to
get him.
Yeah, the positional advantage, there are only two to me at the tight end position. It's Travis Kelce and it's Mark Andrews. I am much happier to have Mark Andrews paired with Jamar Chase in the first than I would have been, you know, Travis Kelce and what wide receivers left on the board right now. It would have been T. Higgins or someone like that.
I would have taken Mark Andrews. And I haven't done that very much, but in this format in the third round, I definitely would have taken him. So we're right on schedule with the round by round sniping. Yeah. However, it does leave me with I think the best running back on the board, especially in a full PPR. I'm sorry, but I am taking Ramondre Stevenson in the third round.
For those tracking, look, because we get the people who are like tracking the mock draft and looking at the rankings. It's like, Mike, you have Ramondre so much. You have a few spots higher than Tony Pollard. Yeah, I do. But Ramondre Stevenson, I was playing a little bit of a gamble that Ramondre was going to drop to me with my next pick. So
It almost worked. Got all the way back to one spot before you.
Can you explain that one more time? Because we had a show last week, top 10 running backs. There were YouTube comments and tweets and exasperated individuals because, look, Mike's got Ramondre at 3, so he likes him better than these players. But talk about what you just said. Just because you have him ranked at 3 where you think he will finish the season doesn't mean that you just draft him ahead of other players.
Absolutely. This is – I don't mind. Like, if you're out there and you're as bullish on Ramondre as I am, I don't care about take him in the second round. That's perfectly fine. But you have to know what's going on in the market. You have to use the ADP to your advantage because it would be ending up with Tony Pollard and Ramondre Stevenson is an incredible get for my team. But if I take Ramondre Stevenson there at 2.5, there is a 0.0 chance that I get Tony Pollard and Ramondre Stevenson. Where I took the gamble, it didn't work out, but I do have a decent percentage chance if I'm targeting both those running backs, I could get them both, but I definitely can if I start with the player who's, even though he's ranked higher for me, he's lower in the ADP. So you got to, these are, you pick your spots where you want to take these chances.
You were one Andy away from Ramondre in the third, being able to stack those two players, but you can't. So Cooper Kupp, Tony Pollard, and, you know, Olave is on the board.
Yes, he is, but not anymore. That was the only thing that gave me comfort.
In the
moment was like, I'm like, oh, Ramondre is going to drop to me. I honestly thought, man, if I played the game and Ramondre drops to me and Olave did drop to me, I would have had an existential crisis with that third
round
pick.
Staring them both down.
But you made it easier for me. Chris Olave there. As my runner-up for the third round, I love Chris Olave. I've talked about it a lot. He was outpacing Garrett Wilson as a rookie. He just happened to miss a few games. His yards per route run, targets per route run are, like, truly in the elite category. I think by next year we're talking about Olave as one of the true elite wide receivers.
Also, beat writers talking about contested catches becoming a part of his repertoire in camp this year.
Yeah, training camp, got to filter everything, but everything has been incredibly positive for Mr. Olave.
Well, after Olave in the third round, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow back-to-back, then T. Higgins, Burrow's teammate, DK Metcalf. I had some dreams of Metcalf sliding all the way back. They're dead. Devontae Smith went next, and then a trifecta of running backs, ETN, Breece Hall, and Najee Harris. So, Mike, three running backs went off the board real quick. You are back on the clock with the fifth pick of the fourth round.
I'm going to take a pick that our own Kyle Borgagnoni is probably screaming, don't do it, don't do it.
Right,
I hate this player. But it's Mr. Keenan Allen. It is the quintessential PPR. Him and Amon-Ra St. Brown are the PPR bros. I definitely have some real fragility on this roster build going with Cooper Kupp and Keenan Allen, two of the not young wide receivers in the NFL, but I still believe that they have at least one more year left.
We're in a three wide receiver league, still two running backs, quarterback, tight end, flex. This is the position in a three wide receiver league where I'm actually not looking to fill my third wide receiver, especially in a 10-team. Like, if a player's there that jumps off that I have to have, sure. But there's a lot of wide receivers I still love. I love Deebo Samuel. I love Ridley. I love DJ Moore. I think that I can fill that third spot and prioritize a very difficult position to fill at running back here. If Ramondre wasn't on the board at 305, let's say Jason took him at 304, my pick would have been rookie Jahmyr Gibbs.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the board at 406 here in a full PPR.
That would be a great pick.
And so Stevenson Gibbs at...
you took him.
Yeah, after going Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams, to me, is a brilliant start in this, if I say so myself.
Yeah.
Just a brilliant, magnificent start. Now, I'm really happy with that. I want to hand it back to Jason here. He has Chase, Amon-Ra, and Mark Andrews.
Yeah, so I was looking at a couple of running backs that I really hoped got back to me. It was Jahmyr Gibbs and Joe Mixon. For my specific team, I would usually take Jahmyr Gibbs first. He's younger, more explosive, and this is a full PPR. He's a pass-catching monster. However, I have Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I really didn't want to go that heavy in my first four picks.
Even with your earlier Lion Roar?
Yeah, even with that roar, I mean, it's, you know, I get it. You
would false
think.
Advertising. False roaring.
But we talked about it. Joe Mixon was on pace for like 100 targets in his games played last year. They lose Samaje Perine. I know he's got the legal stuff we talked about, but at this point in the fourth round, when I don't have a running back to be able to take, you know, a star like that, I will take Joe Mixon.
All right, Joe Mixon to Jason's roster. Kenneth Walker, Deebo. Oh, Deebo.
You're bangled up over there, Jay.
Yeah, I am. And it's ironic because I talked about Amon-Ra and Jahmyr Gibbs not wanting them. It's the difference between what I believe in the Bengals versus the Lions. I think both are good, but the Bengals are clearly a better offense.
And technically the roar also works with the Bengals, so you're in good shape.
Oh, good.
Deebo, Aaron Jones.
It was right there for you, Jay. You could have said it wasn't a Lion.
All right. Justin Fields, first pick of the fifth round, T.J. Hockenson, Amari Cooper. Jason, back on the clock. Some of the top running backs by ADP right now, one of them, he didn't play last night.
Good. Because
he's the dude, and Devin Singletary did. Damian Pierce.
I think that we didn't bring that up at the beginning, but that is definitely a signal to follow. That much like Alexander Mattison did not play for the Minnesota Vikings, Damian Pierce didn't play, and Devin Singletary, the backup, did.
All right, Jason, you are sitting here with Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, two wide receivers. You got a tight end in Andrews and just picked up Mixon.
Yeah, this is the round where I think that the value at quarterback to take a really difference-making, you know, this, we talked about a 10 team. You've got to have those positional advantages. I'm just trying to decide between two quarterbacks that I love. Usually Lamar Jackson is off the board here.
You're going double onesies.
I'm going double onesies when I, you know, it's a third and a fifth, and I think both are actually good values. I think they'll make a big difference for me. Is this a 4-point or a 6-point per passing touchdown league? Because that's the difference.
I don't know, Kamish. What is this?
Four means I take Lamar Jackson.
It's also the stack.
It is also the stack.
I don't
with
even
Mark
know how
Andrews.
You would consider going Justin Herbert there when you have Mark Andrews.
Well, I didn't. I just love Herbert. So here's why, Mike. The reason why is because the plan this year for me is usually to take either Andrews in the third round and then Herbert or Fields in the fifth. And the plan came, you know, it was like, oh, you can do this. But that's because usually Lamar Jackson's not here. So I'll just take the value.
All right, I'm going to
the stack.
I'm going to circle back to wide receiver position here. When you have Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams, you have, I don't know, maybe 400 targets already coming your way. Let's me take a higher upside chance on a wide receiver here in the fifth round, a guy that could be top 12 on an offense I love. I'm taking Calvin Ridley in the middle of the fifth round to pair with Adams and Tyreek. Did you want him?
He was in the – I had kind of narrowed it down to a few players, and he was definitely in there.
Excellent.
The idea of him being my flex, like Calvin Ridley with that upside as your flex player – was very intriguing to me. So Lamar didn't make it to me. That's what I was really hoping for. However, Justin Herbert, my stackable quarterback, because I did draft Keenan Allen. I have Justin Herbert sitting. Oh, let me switch this. Justin Herbert to me right now is quarterback 7 in a 4-point passing touchdown format. Really believe it. The bounce back will happen for him this year with Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. Just doing a quick double check from the rest of the, you know, like Damian Pierce, Miles Sanders, JK2L, Dobbins. Those are the top 3 ADP running backs. And then we're in this kind of weird wide receiver zone or tier or bucket of Hopkins, McLaurin, DJ Moore, Drake London, who I have risen on. But I think I can play a game and still love one of the players coming back. Meanwhile, if I don't get Herbert because I'm not on the team Trevor Lawrence, I won't have what I view as an elite quarterback exiting the draft.
And so you went with Justin Herbert.
I did.
Okay. Justin Herbert to Mike's roster. McLaurin, Judy, Kittle, and Pierce round out the fifth round. Drake London, J.K. Dobbins, D.J. Moore starting the sixth round. DeAndre Hopkins off the board right ahead of Mike. And you, well, you've got yourself 3 wide receivers so far. You've got Tony Pollard and Justin Herbert, and you're on the clock, Mr. Mike.
Let's make that 2 running backs. We'll just make this one quick and easy.
Uh-huh.
It is Mr. Alexander Mattison, who remains a lower ADP running back. He remains a very polarizing running back. Feels like either you are in or you are completely out, and I remain in.
All right. I am on the clock. I am the only one of us without a quarterback yet, and so Trevor Lawrence here in the sixth round in a 10-team league where I need to have some elite play to pair with Calvin Ridley.
Oh,
it seems like
that worked out
the perfect situation. I'm a little bit. Do you think I'm guaranteed to go that direction?
I thought you were going that direction before it got to you. I hoped that somehow you wouldn't notice him there. And that you would miss him so I could make fun of you for not completing the stack. But are you maybe going to choose that
Here's the
path?
Problem. The problem is that I see a significant tier drop at the running back position if I don't take Miles Sanders here.
Mm.
And this is, you know, we're in a 3 wide receiver league, but it's 10 team. I like the depth at wide receiver. I can get a lot of wide receivers later on that I can take flyers on that I like that will drop. If I don't take Trevor Lawrence, I could take Miles Sanders and add him to Ramondre and Gibbs, and then I could wait, and I could take another one of these quarterbacks, but you're dropping down a tier. I think I'm going to go that direction. I'm going to take Miles Sanders.
No, you son of a gun. I needed him.
There
was a huge tier break at the running back position.
Oh, was there now?
Son of a gun. I'm sitting here trying to talk you into taking Trevor Lawrence.
You know, that's a push comes to shove situation where it's like more fun to take Lawrence, but Sanders was the right pick.
I've only got one running back. I needed Miles Sanders. Now at running back, it's like there are – guys that I think have a chance, like Cam Akers.
Cameron.
Yeah, Cameron could be very, very good this year. I also think James Conner in a PPR where he catches the ball a lot, I think he's good. But that's a huge break to me between the...
There is a chance I get Lawrence still. Because...
I'm drafting him. I take
You're gonna pair
Trevor
him with
Lawrence
Lamar Jackson?
And Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Just immediately offer a trade for Miles Sanders.
I am 8 picks away, but there's the problem will be team 2 has no quarterback, but the other 3 teams have one.
Well,
so
this,
now who do you want, Jason? I see Gus Edwards is there.
I was ill prepared because you dirty rotten scoundrel. Very mad at you.
Yeah.
So I still only have one running back. Man, can you just go back and undo that pick? I am so tilted.
Are you
right
not?
Now.
Are you not in the place where you were with Cam Akers? He's sitting there. James Conner.
I would be
you and James Conner about the same age.
Oh, there was one player left that I really liked, and it was Miles Sanders. I think Tyler Lockett is a good value, but he'll come back to me in the next round. I don't need to take him here. He'd probably be the wide receiver I would take ahead of everybody anyway. So then I'm forced to go running back.
And now you're stuck feeling like you're settling.
Yeah, and I'm settling on Cameron, but
Cam
I'm going to take him.
Cam Akers, Waller, Godwin,
no!
Watson, Pitts.
Duh! Dre, yes! Team 2 got him. Trevor Lawrence, thank you, Team 2.
Trevor Lawrence off the board. It was one. I knew that was the one. I knew he would. I knew there was a chance I'd get him, but that's okay. I got a contingency plan. Michael Pittman off the board. Jason, you're back on the clock.
Oh!
Hey, Team 3
so
got me.
So close to the best draft ever.
Team 3 got me. Darren Waller was...
Oh, the target?
Was set up.
Yeah. Okay, so we're all disappointed.
This worked out as expected, where I get in the seventh round Tyler Lockett. I still believe the value of Tyler Lockett in the seventh round is one of the easiest picks in all of fantasy because he's, even if he's not a top 15 wide receiver as he's been every year, he's going to outproduce this low of a value.
Okay. Little bit of a dance to do here again. I'm going to be honest, since you guys have quarterbacks, I want Deshaun Watson. That's my target. But by sleeper ADP, Dak Prescott is ranked higher, and there's only one team after me here in the draft. This is where 10 team is kind of wild because there's only two teams right now without a quarterback. It's Team 10 and myself. So I don't think I have to take Deshaun Watson here. I'm going to play the gamble again. And
Not only do you not have to take Deshaun Watson here, you don't have to take him anywhere. I thought what you were doing when you made that pivot, because you lost your stack with Calvin Ridley. I know you also like Tua, and
yep,
so I
I'm
thought
totally
you were
fine
playing
with
the game
yeah.
with Tua because your first pick was Tyreek Hill, and you'd have that stack.
Totally fine with that. And so here I'm gonna turn back towards it's either tight end with Dallas Goedert, who I've ranked at number 3 right now. Or it's going to be one of these wide receivers. I love Ayuk, Mark Hollywood Brown. I told myself I'd go really quick with this pick, but I'm having a hard time. I'm going to go with Mike Evans.
All right.
Taking Mike Evans a little bit outside of the ADP because I want a quarterback next round. Mike, you're on the clock.
I dig it. You have Mike Evans, which there are certainly some questions about Mike Evans, but having him in the as a fourth wide receiver, maybe as your flex play, I think that's super interesting. I'm going to go with Marquise Hollywood Brown.
Yep.
Number one wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. Carries a ton of risk due to who in the heck is the quarterback? We just don't know.
Kamara, Swift, Ayuk, who I was looking at, Dallas Goedert, and Dak Prescott go to Team 10. Goedert off the board there, so it looks like I'm punting tight end. Mike Williams, Dalvin Cook, James Conner, and Mike, you are back on the clock.
Yeah, Dallas Goedert would have been in contention here for me had he dropped. Now we're looking at the tight ends. Evan Engram, who I do like, but I also accept the reality that it'll be some spike games and probably not as consistent as you hope. The Muth. I don't think we've talked about the Muth enough as a tight end who's just had a great career to start. If Kenny Pickett is actually going to take that level up, I think that's going to help with Muth.
Top 10 tight end show on Monday.
Where I'm really torn here, though, is I think that Deontay Johnson here in the 8th PPR, Andy, you brought it up, he's one of those guys that finished much higher. I mean, certainly 0 touchdowns on the year will do that to you. But if I wanted to target the Muth later, I don't want to have Deontay and the Muth, but I don't know if the Muth will make it back to me, so I'm just going to take Deontay.
All right, I am going to keep punting the quarterback down the list. I'm the only team without one. And in a 10-team, I'm gonna take that gamble. I can keep waiting and waiting, which gives me some other options. I like some of these names at the running back position right now. And for the first time this season.
Oh, is it Javonte time?
Fresh off.
No! Fresh, yeah! You are driving me insane. You are driving me. I'm going to kill you. I can't believe. I'm like, I was on. Mike was on the clock, and I'm like, oh, good. Andy's taking his quarterback, so I get Javonte. I need him because he took Miles Sanders, and I was left with Cameron. I need another shot. So Javonte was all that was left.
Oh, man.
Oh, and then you hear me say,
I'm going to flip this table over.
First, you hear me say, I'm going to keep kicking the quarterback down the line.
Oh.
By the way, the most recent report on Javonte. He's 100% according to his own staff, and he's on my team.
That
was the greatest mock draft reaction I've ever heard. Someone clip it,
and
we need that on socials.
First
murder threat in a mock this year.
It still makes no sense. How is Javonte possibly 100% with that knee injury? It makes no sense. All right, Jay.
I quit. I quit this draft.
Oh, man. You have to make another settle pick here.
Oh, I do. I have to make another settle pick. The wide receivers that are here, to me, there's a handful of them that I like that will come back to me. All the rookies that are still available, I would take any of them at my next pick. So I'm going to take a shot on another running back. I felt like because I have – you know, only Mixon and Cameron Akers, that I really want another running back. So I'm looking for upside here. We talked about him, but James Cook is a pass catching back on a great offense. He's a second year player. He's young, he's explosive, and he's been the talk of the town. So I will take James Cook here.
Makes perfect sense. Love the pick. Would have been the pick if Javonte wasn't there. Wanted to draft Javonte for the first time. Jason, After Cook went Kirk, Pacheco, Addison, who I'm sure was on your radar.
Addison was who I wanted to come back to me the most.
Montgomery, Treylon Burks, having a great camp. Rashad White, a great value at 903. I'm sure Mike was targeting him.
Yeah, I was. It was really tight between Deontay or adding and Rashad White as my third running back. The gambles are not they're not paying off for me here. What am I drafting, 106? Yeah.
So, Jason,
I like my team, but I'm so mad at you, Andy, because it should be significantly better with a couple different picks.
You can make me mad here.
I will. I hope. I'm going to take Jahan Dotson.
I know
a player that I know you really like.
I do.
At wide receiver position.
Dotson.
There you go.
We've got Dotson here.
It's a great pick, obviously. But I was actually targeting the rookie from Seattle, Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yeah.
In a PPR league, I thought maybe you'd take him.
I have Tyler Lockett, so he was kind of off my board.
All right, so Dotson and Smith-Njigba. Mike, you are on the clock. You've gone wide receiver the last couple rounds with Hollywood and Deontay, both great values in the seventh and eighth round. You're back up.
And looking at, so I only have the two running backs for this particular draft. I have four more picks, so I need to start padding at least a little bit. And looking at who's there, you know, we're talking A.J. Dillon, Brian Robinson, Jamal Williams, Rashad Penny, who would have been very exciting until the Eagles are raining on my parade here. But there is one man who used to be my champion, who should be catching way more passes. Maybe this is the first time we actually get Antonio Gibson utilized the way that he is supposed to be used. But Antonio Gibson, pass-catching running back in a PPR league, in the ninth round, sign me up.
His running mate, back-to-back ninth round picks. Brian Robinson went next, then Pickens, also having a pretty good camp. A.J. Dillon, Quentin Johnston, he was on the radar, going at 9-10. Brandon Cooks, Kadarius Toney, Freiermuth, and Juju. Mike, you do need a tight end over these next three picks, otherwise you're free.
I do, and that's right where I'm going to go. I could have gotten Freiermuth, had I not gone with Deontay Johnson, but again, I'm not really comfortable stacking up that many Pittsburgh Steelers should the passing attack not improve the way that we really want. But Evan Engram is a guy who I like, and he managed to make it back to me in the 10th round. PPR, let's go.
All right. You grabbed him, and I keep thinking I'm going to take my quarterback. And then I keep sitting here with all of these pretty names on the board.
All this value.
Dude, just take your freaking quarterback. Save your life. There's only one player I want. I swear to you, if you take him, I'm going to just explode. Just take your quarterback.
Oh, my goodness. Khalil Herbert is joining the roster here.
Oh, good.
In the 10th round. Honestly, I don't even know if I would have gone that way if I hadn't been trying to find the name. I thought that was it. I mean, I thought A-Chain could have been it. I thought that I thought Gabe Davis could have been it. Zay Flowers could have been it.
It is a wide receiver.
Okay, my guess was going to be the Babe.
It is not the Babe because it's full PPR. I'm going to take a gamble here. I haven't drafted him. No, I guess I was super safe. You guys have named like 10 guys.
Yeah, what bad guy are you taking?
We're in the 10th round, and in a full PPR, I'll go ahead and draft the guy who, I don't know, has the most receptions in a season in NFL history.
Yeah, I dig
it. Michael Thomas.
In Michael Thomas. I feel like I need him at the wide receiver position.
I'm here for that.
Okay, so after Michael Thomas, I made a horrible mistake. I am eating it. I took a stupid Khalil Herbert.
Oh, it was a great pick.
And I all to ruin Jason, and two teams take a backup, and I end up without Tua or Deshaun Watson.
Oh, baby, yes.
Wow, that is. And would I trade Herbert for Watson now? Of course I would. That was a gamble, and I'm blaming the sleeper AI 100% because that is stupid. They took two backups, but I'm going to have to eat it. Yeah. And so Watson and Tua are gone, Jason.
Take a player that I've loved the whole time since. Well, not really, because I did love the film, but didn't like him for fantasy. But then where he got drafted, I've fallen in love with Devon A-Chain. I've talked about that. One of the players I think he's my second highest exposure running back right now in underdog. So I'll add him to the roster.
Well, I have to draft a quarterback and a tight end, and my quarterbacks have been stripped from my hands. And so I'm going to take Dalton Kincaid here. To be my tight end, Mike, you are on the clock with your second to last pick.
All right, so I have...
My draft was going so perfect. If I could have taken Watson in the 11th round, that would have been just... I would have unlocked... Jason's...
I love my team
just
now.
Just grinning. You love your team because of me not getting somebody?
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, fantasy football is wild.
Wow, that was a ride, Mike. Go ahead.
All right, we're at the back. This is ADP can just... You can just throw it right in the garbage now. This is where you are looking for upside. You're taking the players that you see a path. You believe something could happen. So I'm a little bit thin on the running back position. So I got Pollard, Madison, and Antonio Gibson. Samaje Perine, it feels like the shine is really starting to go away. I think he'll be heavily involved still, but it's...
Yeah, but fantasy involved and fantasy involved could be different.
Yeah,
him.
So he's kind of gotten off the board there.
He may live just to hurt Javonte at this point versus being a big performer.
It's certainly possible. And actually, this player still remains at the top of the ADP, and he wasn't playing with the starters despite his second-round draft capital. But Zach Charbonnet should... We get further into the season.
Oh, I'm in big trouble.
Further up.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, baby. Yes. Oh, baby.
Anthony Richardson was my contingency plan. Sorry to cut you off, Mike.
No, you're good.
I'm watching three more backup quarterbacks go off the board. Anthony Richardson, Kirk Cousins, and Aaron Rodgers, who's always there for the desperation final pick. Okay.
But he was not there.
He was not there, Mike. You are up.
Russell Wilson's still available.
He may be my quarterback. We'll find out.
All right, we're going to this player, the vibes through the rookie season were pretty bad. The vibes going into the off season, they were pretty bad. The team took a wide receiver in the second round. That felt pretty bad, and yet training camp, the beat report for this player has started to build and get a bit louder. And I'm going to take Sky Moore of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Five quarterbacks have gone in the 11th and
12th
round.
I really should
have taken him. Yeah. Mike, I didn't say it because I was afraid you'd take Geno and leave me with just nothing. Geno's going to have to be the pick here, and I'm going to be scanning that waiver wire, probably picking up a little Kyler Murray action or Matthew Stafford action if need be. But the The schedule for Geno to start the year is so good that it's going to be depressing that you high round quarterback guys end up with lower fantasy points than my guy does in week one.
Geno stacked with your Jackson, Smith, and Jigba.
That's Geno right. At the end of the draft is incredible.
Woo!
Yeah.
Bryce Young's not my quarterback in week one.
All right. Because this is a three wide receiver plus a flex full PPR, I really want to leave here with a handful of wide receivers. I'm going to take a guy who was a massive, massive disappointment last year.
Adam Thielen.
Oh, gosh.
I would never. I'm going way better. I'm going with Cortland Sutton.
Oh.
The guy who has reportedly Jason, been the first read.
It cannot happen to me. If Sean Payton turns around the Broncos and Cortland Sutton is the biggest beneficiary and he is the player who he was supposed to be and I drafted everywhere last year to be,
mm-hmm.
I will lose control.
I've been rising on him based on the fact that he's lost weight. He's looking
well. No Tim Patrick
and no Tim Patrick and Sean.
There was
Payton
no Tim Patrick last year.
He did not. Cortland Sutton, to be clear, I know he was missed by a bad quarterback. He looked awful last season.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact he lost some weight, whatever he needed to do to try to get healthy, be a part of this offense. Now, if you remember, he's playing the Michael Thomas X role in this offense. That was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a high involvement position, but it's also one he's never really, he hasn't had as many snaps in. So we're done. We finished it up. I want to make a quick announcement, by the way. The UDK has a new feature. We just added brand new, we always have had the current ADP by scoring system sheet in the UDK, which is average draft position. So you can see where players are moving. We just added a new platform comparison ADP tool, which lets you see where players are going platform to platform. I talked about this on yesterday's show. You know, don't just go off of the sleeper ADP if you draft on ESPN. Don't go off the ESPN one if you draft on Yahoo. Look at where they're going and find those gaps between the platforms because they move and shake every day.
Yeah, I give you a perfect example here. J.K. Dobbins is a fifth-round pick right now on Sleeper. He's a ninth-round pick right now on ESPN. So,
and I think Olave's a fourth-rounder on ESPN, which is, that's a chef's kiss.
Final rosters here. 10-team, three-wide receiver, PPR mock draft. I have Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, Calvin Ridley, Mike Evans, and Jackson Smith and Jigba at wide receiver. My biggest regret is the Khalil Herbert pick in the 10th round. Because I have five running backs already and good ones in Stevenson, Gibbs, Sanders, and Javonte. Herbert probably didn't need him there. Could have gone quarterback, could have gone wide receiver in a three wide. So I do regret that pick. It looked like a value in the 10th round. That would be a pick I'd try to flip if this was a real league. Kincaid and Geno are my tight end and quarterback.
I've got the Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews stack at the onesie positions. I am weakest at running back, where I've got Joe Mixon, Cameron Akers, James Cook, and Devon Achane. And then my wide receivers are Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyler Lockett, Jahan Dotson, Michael Thomas, and Cortland Sutton.
At wide receiver, I have Cooper Kupp, Christopher Olave, Keenan Allen, Marquise Hollywood Brown, Deontay Johnson, and Sky Moore. At running back, Tony Pollard, Alexander Mattison, Antonio Gibson, and Zach Charbonnet. My tight end is Evan Engram. And to go along with my Keenan Allen, I have Justin Herbert.
I mentioned Khalil Herbert's my mistake pick. Do you have a pick you regret now that you look at your roster? Or are you just totally happy and content?
I don't think it's regret like, I shouldn't have taken Cameron. Like, I shouldn't have. I should have taken Miles Sanders. But that was because of you robbing me of beauty.
No, I had a few points in the draft where it was unsure, but the final product came together for me.
All right, next week we have the Top 10 Rankings episode. We have Tips and Tricks to Win Your League episode. We have another Mock Draft episode. And, gentlemen, we have the 2023 My Guys episode next week.
Oh, baby.
Check out that new ADP tool, ultimatedraftkit.com. Yet another resource for you to get ready for your drafts. Back with you next week.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.